have an opportunity now to hear Garrett share his testimony. And being married to Garrett, I've heard this testimony many, many times, but I never tire to hear of the wonderful work God did in bringing someone from very far away from God to knowing and loving Jesus. So I'm going to call Garrett to share his story with us.
Didn't know I was getting introduced. Nice. We probably should mea culpa. We thought about this the other day and went, oh, we forgot to get someone to get a testimony this year. So you're stuck with me. Garrett Smith, I know, sounds real Jewish to everybody here. But my father was born with the name Schmidt in Vienna, Austria, 1932. In 1938, the Nazis invaded Austria in March. And for those who know, much of his family, probably should use this one instead. Much of his family was already out and here in the States, but they closed immigration. You know, they wouldn't let any more people come out after 1931. So as Hitler's coming to power, nobody could get out, and no one could come to the States. Until finally, in 1938, they opened immigration again, and my father and his family was able to come out with nothing. Yeah, checked and making sure they wouldn't allow take any wealth out, and they came. But I was, and my father, you know, they wanted him to be a cantor, so he was raised pretty hardcore. But he didn't really get married for a bit, and at that age, being 30 or 28 or 29, not being married yet, but he met my mom, who was a nice Mormon girl who had ran from her upbringing in San Francisco. Now she was in the city of sin instead of Pocatello, Idaho. So my dad, after his parents died, think to marry it, because his mother had told him, bring me home a shiksa, I'll give you my head on a plate. That was honestly the loving Jewish mother comment. So he waited till they actually died, sadly, when he was 29, and then a couple of years later, or a year later, he married my mom. And no one came to the wedding, right? There were two people at the wedding, basically his sister and her husband. No one from her side, no one from his side. Not a very celebratory wedding, is it? And he still made my mom promise that the kids would have to be raised Jewish. It's interesting, you know, how do you go across this, you know, go against everyone in your family, wait till to do something that's so, you know, wrong to do in the eyes of your people, yet still, he can imagine marrying a Gentile, but he couldn't imagine raising one. It's kind of interesting, the complexity of Jewish identity and why it's so important to us. And so I was raised in a synagogue, Reform, and we were raised right across the street. And, you know, I think about the high holidays. The best part about the high holidays was not going to school. You know, just kidding. And us, you know, the whole game of, at first it was cat and mouse of how many hours do we have to spend in the synagogue and how can we sneak out? How many parents looping us back in? And I remember I said my first prayer at Rosh Hashanah, it was, please don't have a sermon. Isn't that irony? That was my first prayer. Please let there be no sermon. You know, and it's full turn, huh? Full circle. But, you know, for us it was traditions. I don't think God was ever mentioned in my house. I don't think anyone even thought about it. I have no recollection of any conversation regarding God at all, one way or the other. You know, it was traditions. We were Jewish. That's what was important. You know, you have your Passover. You have your Bar Mitzvah. You know, there was nothing about God. It wasn't worship in that sense. It was traditions, doesn't mean it's meaningless. It's your people. You know, it's your traditions, your family, it's your history. You know, we're Jewish. That's what we are, and that was important. But it didn't have anything to do with God. You know, I was about 22 or 23, what I figured the most important thing in life was to make as much money as possible. So I got a job at downtown San Francisco in the stock market, and I was on my way. But about a month after I got my job, my mother died. She had a brain tumor. And after that, I thought, I started to just look at this and I go, is this really my grand pursuit of my life to make as much money as I can? And I stayed there for probably a year, but after a year I decided, you know, there's more things in life I need to do and I want to do, and I'm not just going to spend my life like this. And so I decided I would quit my job. I quit after a couple of years, and I just studied. I decided I wanted to, you know, I don't know, face some of my fears in my life. So I took immersion Chinese and moved to the Far East. You know, doesn't everybody. and I thought, you know, I'm kind of afraid of, you know, I hated my fears. I thought, I'm kind of afraid of, you know, learning some foreign language like that. You know, you knew some of the Hebrew growing up, but you don't actually speak it, you know. So I took immersion Chinese, and then just went off by myself to Taiwan, and I was teaching English and began studying martial arts and studying Chinese. And I figured that Taiwan was too easy after 6 months, so I went to mainland China. And I just had a backpack, and I kept pushing myself. Anything I was afraid of, I had to do. So eventually, I ended up hitchhiking my way through some of those remote areas of China, going to these total illegal areas, walking in the middle of nowhere, just, you know, no one ever sees a Westerner, you just wave. There's no cars. I'm hitchhiking, and there's no cars. Okay, there's like, you know, half hour, 45 minutes, an hour, something would putt by, and I'd jump on the back of it, and that was it, you know. And I studied a lot of Eastern philosophy at this time, you know, Buddhism, Taoism, you know, contemplation of life. And I thought, if this stuff's really true, I can't be afraid to live it out. So I went to Southeast Asia after about a year and went to Thailand, ended up in a Buddhist monastery. I shaved my head. I was, you know, I mean, honestly, you'd be silent for 2 weeks at a time in the monastery. Yeah, Jewish purgatory, right? Sleeping on cement pallets, waking to gongs at 4 o'clock in the morning, doing meditation and yoga and all this kind of stuff. And at this point, I was committed to a contemplative life because I believed, you know, the Western society was thoroughly corrupt. You know, materialism was corrupt. I rejected all materialism. All I had was a 15-pound backpack I kept in a little burlap sack. I would throw away all my items, and I would just go live on some island, you know, meditate, contemplate life. I had no aspirations to rejoin Western society. I was never going back. I thought I was completely corrupt. I was going to live a contemplative life. I'd accept life for what it is. You know, don't worry about the future, about the past. You can't control those things. You know, don't greed, lust, selfishness, all causes you suffering. So you don't have that. And you're kind of like, you almost become like less than human in many ways. You dehumanize. That's how you deal with suffering. You just simply don't want anything or desire anything. Then you don't suffer. So I was pretty, you can imagine how distant this makes you relationally with people. You're so far out there, you know. And then my stepmom managed to get me to come home. She wanted to go on a final family vacation to Israel. She wanted to go to the promised land once in her life because my dad was actually in kind of bad health. And they didn't even know where I was. I mean, I still think about it right now. I think how nuts it was. I mean, they could not get a hold of me. Every couple months I'd call in. They knew I was in some kind of jungle somewhere or going something. Except the kid, I mean, I actually did get dengue fever and, you know, almost died. And I remember sitting in there just, I couldn't even move out of a bed. I'm so hot, so boiling over. I can't even move. I can't call anyone. And no one on the planet knows where I am. I thought they'll never find me, you know. And in God's mercy, I'm here. But so I end up, after a couple of years, I went to Israel with just a one-way ticket. My family went home after 10 days, but I was just going to stay and see where life would take me next with my little backpack and hitchhike around Israel. Because I wasn't going to worry about where I was or what I was doing. And then I was hitchhiking, and I got dropped off in front of a Christian youth hostel in Haifa. And if you don't know, youth hostels, place where backpackers stay and dormitories. And it was like an outreach to these travelers. And actually, I was following Taoism, which you kind of flow like a river, you know, and just kind of see where you don't fight the flow. And I, you know, so I was just hitchhiking, and a guy just dropped me off in front of there, and I looked down and saw a basketball court, and I said, all right, you know, I float in, all right. And I was 27 at this point, and not one person in my entire life had ever said anything to me about Yeshua, Jesus, nothing that I can remember. Maybe they did, and I was deaf to it. I have no memory of anybody ever saying anything. Maybe it's because I was Jewish, who knows. First guy was a guy at the hostel who was a guy by the name of Izzy, who was a Jewish guy. Who believed in Jesus. Izzy was a guy who took way too many drugs before he became a believer in Jesus. If you ever meet these kind of guys who are totally frazzled and they go, bah, 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 they talk, you know, it's like talk at you. He talked at me for a half hour and thought we were in a conversation. I said nothing. All he said was like, all I heard was Jesus, blah, 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 Jesus, blah, 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 Jesus, 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 blah, blah, blah. And that's all he said, basically, that I heard. And I was just like Mr., you know, shaved head Buddhist. Nothing bothered me. Right, I was unoffendable, you know. I mean, I looked so bizarre. I had like Thai fishing pants on and no items. It was just total bizarre scene. And the guy hands me a Bible, you know, and I just think, you know, thank you. You know, I just walk right. He leaves, and I go right to the bookshelf to put it back. And And then I had this, you know, thought, hey, maybe I ought to read this thing. I'd actually never read it. You know the stories when you're a kid sometimes, but it's like, you know, I thought, here I am, this intellectual guy who's read all these philosophies and all this kind of stuff out of the Bible. Important book, why not? Can't be afraid of it. And so I thought I'd start at Genesis 1:1 and just read through the whole thing. And at first it was kind of cool. I'm like, wow, man, these are like cool stories, man. Noah, I've heard of them. it's like, wow, it's neat. You know, first time you look at this stuff. And then probably, you know, as I got in the end of Exodus and Leviticus, I got a little bogged down. And someone said, you know, why don't you try the New Testament? I'm like, the New Testament? Ooh. It's like, hey, you know, I may be a bald, you know, a shaved head Buddhist guy, but hey, you know, I'm Jewish. Jesus, you know, that's the other guy's book. It was like your heart begins to beat. Isn't that the weirdest thing? Someone mentions the New Testament, look at it, and you're like going like, you're like almost like shaking. And I'm like asking myself even like, why am I bothered by this? It's a book. I don't care about this stuff. I'm an atheist anyway. Why does a book bug me so much? And why do I feel, I mean, I could read any kind of weird Eastern philosophy. I mean, I read everything. Nothing affected me, but that one, I honestly felt like a palpable fear. It's the weirdest thing. But I think, but you know me, I said I can't be afraid of something. So the very fact that I was afraid of it insisted that I do it. And so someone said, why don't you try John? So, okay, I read the Gospel of John, read Matthew, and I read Luke. I really liked it. I thought Jesus was kind of like me, this enlightened guy. You know, the arrogance is incredible, right? I thought Jesus was like me. He's really kind of got it. Not quite there yet. Jesus is getting there. it's incredible what you're capable of. You know, you never underestimate our potential for arrogance. Like I said, I was a total atheist. But then weird things had happened to me at the hostel. And I still remember, because they invited me to stay there. Because actually, Izzy went and told other people at the hostel, but I was really open. Because I simply didn't tell him, like everyone else did, to please leave me alone. So they let me stay there. And so I'm working from room and board, and I thought, that's great. You know, I can do my little, I can live for free, and that's all I really cared about. And so I was at the hostel, and then weird things had happened to me. People would actually try to talk to me about Jesus, and I wouldn't listen to anything they'd say. I just kind of like listen to them. But there were like a couple times where they said something and I got like buzzy feeling, like almost like chills. I remember just like shaking it off thinking, that's weird. And I didn't tell anybody about it. And I just thought, that's a really strange thing. Because I was really into spirituality and things, and I felt like something like poked me, and I'm like, whoa, is there some kind of power there? And I opened up the Bible up, and it was a few times I opened the Bible up, it was exactly what I was thinking about. I remember one time I'm wondering how you pray, hearing these people praying. I was like, that sounds kind of neat. Maybe I should try that. So I'm closing my eyes and trying to pray and go, this is stupid. It's like you're talking in your head. It's just ludicrous, you know? And then right then I opened this Bible up and had a little heading. It said, how to pray. I was like, dang. I heard it's like, I don't even remember. I think it was the Lord's Prayer thing, but I remember just thinking, you know, like looking around, like who's in the room with me? And there were like a few of these things. And then it all came down for me one night. And it's obviously a longer story, but I was all set to leave the hostel. I'd been there about 2 months. And actually, I kind of like closed up towards all the stuff. I said, this is all nonsense. I'm getting out of here. Because I'd started to have a haunting thought in my head. I wonder if this stuff could be true. But I thought, I don't want it to be true. I just want to get out of here. And I was all set to leave the hostel. And then I was with the guy. And it was late at night. And that little buzzy feeling was like 1,000 times over. And I was really like, feeling like something grabbed me, and I was literally shaking. And I remember I hunched over in my chair, and he was over there, and I actually began like swearing. It's really crazy, you know, like just, you know, because I would never swear. That was part of my hyper rich righteousness, but I was swearing. I was so sure. I was like, and he's like in the other room. He doesn't know what he's doing. This guy's just praying. He's like, I don't know what's happening over here. And it went on for an hour, hour and a half. I don't know how long it was. And at some point, I kind of came out of it, and I said, I think I need to stay here. I don't know what's going on. Something's going on. And he opens the Bible up to Romans 10, 9 and 10. You know, it says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus Lord and believe in your heart God raised you from the dead, you will be saved. And I thought, just get the little book away from me, man. Something big's happening here. But the crazy thing was, is I hunched over and I began shaking. And I think I said what I believe is my first prayer. I remember just saying, just let me see this through. I don't want to run. I don't want to be afraid of it. Whatever's happening, I just want to see it through. And I hunched, and it was, it's hard to know. It started somewhere around 9. It's well somehow past midnight at this point, maybe 3 hours of shaking and feeling for some reason that I didn't understand what was happening, but for somehow I was convinced it was God. And I don't really understand why, but I felt compelled, and I fell to the ground. And my head was actually against the carpet, and I'm all hunched over. And then I saw words in my head. And the words said, "The Lord Jesus Christ is my Savior." Didn't even understand what it meant. Really didn't know who Jesus was or anything. I didn't know what those words meant. But they were like blinking there, and I thought, I'll never say that. And then I had this almost like vision of something I had done like a month before. I went up, and I was always afraid of heights. And I went up in the Golan Heights, and it was a wet hike, if you know wet hikes, and you can go way around it. But you can also just jump right off this huge cliff and cut right across. And I saw someone else do it. I was always terrified of heights, but I thought, I can't be afraid of it. I remember just walking, so I saw someone do it. I said, that's it. I just walked to the edge, jumped off a super high cliff. And I had that vision right when I was like hunched over saying, no way I'll say this. And I thought, I'm just going to jump. I'm not going to be afraid of this. And I just said it again and again, Lord Jesus Christ is my Savior. I didn't know what the heck was going on. I was covered with sweat. I was just hunched over there. And the guy went and got the other people at the hostel, woke them all up, and they all, you know, came in there. And they're like, you know, going, whoa, you know, hallelujah, hallelujah. And I'm just like, get away from me, you know, get away. You know, like, they said, so now you believe in Jesus? I don't know what I believe. I don't know what's going on. You know, you believe the Bible? I don't know. It's good. Just leave me alone, man. Something big happened. So I came to the conviction, like, well, God's real, and somehow it's got something to do with Jesus. And that's all I really grasped in that moment. I said, I'll never call myself a Christian. I'll never go to a church. I'm a pastor now. So, didn't last. But I tell you, I stayed there for a whole year with every doubt you can imagine and doing nothing but just pouring through the scriptures, and the scriptures came to life. And suddenly it wasn't some book of philosophy. It was like God talking to me. And my Jewishness suddenly made sense in a way it never did. I mean, I didn't realize, I knew I was Jewish, but I didn't know why I cared or not. And suddenly I understand my Jewishness. It all makes sense. And actually, in a crazy way, far from becoming less Jewish, you know, by believing in Yeshua, I actually discovered it in many ways, and I was suddenly so embraced and so proud, and I grasped it. And I'll tell you, I stayed there for a year, came back, and actually the amazing thing is after I came back, my dad, actually a month later, also became a believer in Yeshua. It's pretty amazing stuff. Brother and sister are still ticked off to this day. It's been 20 years, so I appreciate your prayers for them. But I'm just thankful that the Lord comes to seek and save those that are lost. Thanks.